So now we'll shift over to Jock McIntosh from the province. Thank you.
I was I was asked here today to present Alberta Environment's role in pesticide management as it relates to the issue before you, the monitoring undertaken of our provincial surface waters, and the monitoring of pesticide sales use in Edmonton that led to the government policy change that was implemented to protect water quality. The mandate for pesticide management in Alberta is provided under the Environmental Protection and Enhancement Act. The pesticide ministerial regulation allows us to provide authorizations for applicators, dispensers, businesses that apply pesticides, vendors, and allows us to issue approvals for use of pesticides near water. The ministerial regulation also has a classification system for pesticides, what we call Schedules 1 to 4, which are the foundation of how we regulate their sales and use in Alberta. The Pesticide Sales Handling Use and Application Regulation provides the ability to respond to adverse effects, regulations for protecting water, insurance requirements, emergency response equipment, mixing and loading, storage, disposal, transportation, display, and provides a list of offenses. The Environmental Code of Practice for Pesticides is essentially a best practices document that the industry follows. It provides a policy clarification for acceptable performance, and it applies to the application and the distribution industry. Our objective with Alberta Environment is, of course, the judicious use of pesticides within Alberta. Federal, provincial, and municipal governments all recognize that Canadians can and should seek opportunities to minimize their exposure to and reduce their reliance on pesticides. All support the components of integrated pest management that combine biological, cultural, physical, and chemical tools to manage pests. Many municipalities across Canada have developed pesticide awareness and reduction programs, such as your own Good Growing campaign. In rural settings, this is usually accomplished by notification programs. To help you put things in perspective, every 5 years in Alberta, a detailed collection of pesticide sales records is undertaken and analyzed. We last did our last run in 2008 and have just completed the analysis. 96.5% of the 11.2 million kilograms of pesticide active ingredient sold in Alberta are directed to the agricultural sector, 2.6% to the commercial industrial sector, and 0.9% to the domestic use sector, our urban use. When you look at the pesticide sales, almost 81% of those are herbicides, and 3.2% insecticides. Again, looking at what we have approved for use in Canada, I last looked in January, and there were at that time 5,323 approved pesticide products for use in the country. Of those, there are over 2,000 domestic use pesticides. Provide here a little bit of a breakdown for you to show you where most of those products are. Most are registered as insecticides, about 148 herbicides, 99 rodenticides, 11 fungicides, and then there's a whole host of others that are directed to for use as insect repellents, wood preservatives, animal repellents, swimming pool agents, sanitizing products, and pruning paint. What we look at a little more closely is what we're dealing with in the urban centers. The top six urban pesticide active ingredients used in Alberta, of course, are 2,4-D and Mecoprop, which are the components of the lawn turf herbicides, glyphosate, a non-selective herbicide, ferrous sulfate, which was a surprise to me when we pulled in this information. I didn't realize that so many people were using products for moss control in our dry climate. The fifth one is diatomaceous earth, and this is a product that is being used wide scale for slugs, ants, cockroaches, silverfish, and a host of other house and garden insects. One very popular right now, which is not factored in our 2000 data, is the outbreak of bed bugs that are starting, and this product is one of the choices. The last one is Carbaryl, of the top six, and this one is largely used for ants and fleas and ticks. When the next part I wanted to indicate to you is just where we went on our prohibition on fertilizer herbicide combination products, our weed and feeds. In late November, the minister announced a prohibition that would be effective January 1st. Manufacturers were notified in early 2009, retailers in the spring, and the law was passed by Cabinet in July 2009 and came into effect, as I said, January 1st, 2010. How we got there? We initially were looking at our surface water monitoring data from 1995 to 2002 and had noted that we were having 2,4-D on this graph here, the 2,4-D and the MCPP, which is mecoprop, or the active ingredients in the lawn products. We had seen in the light blue bars upstream very low detections. There's a little bit more of an agricultural influence upstream of Edmonton than there is Calgary. Downstream, we were seeing detection frequencies that lit up our radar and required that we look into this a little more closely as to what this was all about. That led to, what I just wanted to mention here too was that we had, 2,4-D was detected in over 90% of our water samples downstream of urban centers. Less than 1% of those samples exceeded water quality guidelines over an 8-year monitoring period. The concentrations were 10 times higher than those detected in rural sampling areas, largely because of the use intensity that goes in the small area of the city compared to agriculture areas. What we then did was, with the cooperation of the two large cities and all the people involved in those areas, golf courses, the landscape industry, your own city parks, we did a poll on what was being used and sold into the major centers. And when we put that together, in the red area there is your weed and feed use in the cities. So that was indicating to us that that was a likely candidate for what we were seeing in our rivers downstream. The other thing with weed and feed products was that this was always to us a product that flew in the face of integrated pest management. It's a broadcast method of application. You don't understand why we would use a product and apply herbicide to every square inch of our lawn when there are not weeds growing over that. So we know that we had overloading and overuse going on. All the provinces across Canada recognized this as a target for overuse and did not comply with our objectives for integrated pest management and our healthy lawn strategies. So our outcomes after that ban is we are hoping that we will see homeowners adopt more non-chemical weed control methods or switch to 2,4-D products that can be targeted to weed problems. And at the same time, we are expecting to see 2,4-D concentrations downstream of our major centers being reduced. One thing I wanted to share with you here was that when we take the information from our information collection on sales and use data, we put these graphs together. And I probably made this a little bit too simple for you, but it really demonstrates to me the component of herbicide use. Of the green bars, the dark green component is the weed and feed component. The light green in the middle there are your 2,4-D lawn care products that, such as the concentrates, the weed bars, and things like that. The light yellow at the top are the non-selective herbicides. The one that I would mention to you that most people relate to is glyphosate or the Roundup type products that are used by homeowners. The graphs on the side, The pink are the insecticides. We call some of the hard ones the organophosphate carbamate ones that are all being phased out, and the lighter ones the softer products that are coming on the market nowadays. What I wanted to show you here, though, is that we did see a decline. I don't want to read a lot into this because a lot of these annual uses are influenced by weather conditions, too. But what we did start to see was a decline last year in the weed and feed, thinking that perhaps this might be a response to the prohibition. It's an indicator to us that Edmontonians, as well as Calgarians and every other municipality, are wanting to do the right thing. What happened in that last year was that here, that big yellow bar, it's not showing up too yellow there, but that is what we saw was the uptake of non-conventional herbicide, the corn gluten meal products. Edmontonians, to me, are looking for a replacement for the weed and feed. And what we're seeing here is what we didn't want to really see is this is driving up the amount of active ingredient that's going on in the city. And we're not so sure that this is really an effective alternative and something that's going to require a lot of education for the consumer. We're finding, too, that people, as they use this, are finding it doesn't produce the results that they're expecting. So one of the emerging use trends that we're seeing, we are seeing a lot of encouragement for new approaches, and this is being uptaken by our manufacturing industry. One of the things that are concerned to us is the knowledge and product limitations that are going on that are leading to improper non-registered uses. When you're shifting away from products and driving people to alternatives, we want to make sure that they are legal to use and they're using them properly. And they're not accessing products that are not for use in Canada. The other is that we are going to see an increase in application rates with products that are softer and more non-conventional, as well as an increase in frequency of applications. Our performance indicators are really important to us in Alberta environment. We want to be able to continue watching sales and use and watch the trends and know what's going on for our surface water monitoring. Nationally, we are seeing consumer products changing. Manufacturers and retailers are addressing demands for low-risk products. We have to make sure that anything that we are using, even alternatives that we recommend to people, are registered for use in Canada. They cannot be using products that are not legal. And that would include even things like corn gluten meal, all soaps, vinegars, salts, or even gasoline has to be registered as a pesticide if you're going to use it for that purpose. Education and consistency is essential in this province, and we are finding right now that with the bans in eastern Canada, as well as some of the restrictions going on and the change in the use of products, retailers, gardening experts, and homeowners are becoming very confused. Our approach in Alberta environment is to continue to rely on Health Canada for pesticide safety assessments. We want to encourage Albertans to reduce pesticide reliance and to use approved pesticide alternatives where practical, focusing as much on integrated pest management as possible. We will be continuing our stepwise approach to pesticide risk reduction and are quite committed to carrying on with the municipalities on our annual monitoring of sales and use. Our biggest concern right now is education. What we want to see is that we have the industry support at the retail outlets. They are indicating to us cooperation to develop better sales and use and display requirements in our provinces, and we really want to further the continued support for municipal information campaigns. Thank you for your attention.